With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today, delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
So very nice. Somebody, I guess, friend of Robbie's, who wishes to remain anonymous, called and made a $500 donation, I think, to you and your cause here for going to buy $500 worth of shoes.
That is correct. So
that's what it's for. Go buy $500 worth of shoes. And we had a great gentleman, goes by Tim/Louie. Here, who brought a whole bag full of shoes that we just added to the pile. So we're grateful. We're picking things up here a little bit. Thank you so much for that. So thank you to the caller, and that's why we were in such a long break there, because we were talking to the person. So
also
$500 for you to go buy shoes. I want to go help you buy the shoes. It's fun when you're buying shoes for somebody else. Perrin Johnson's with us here. I did a little shopping spree myself here for this.
No, because you can pick out things that you never want, but you always wanted. So it's a good feeling.
I bought all different sizes. You don't have to really worry about sizes as long as you're not buying, like, you know, infant sizes, because somebody over there is going to have a size 9, somebody's going to have a size 10, somebody's going to have a size 7, somebody's going to have a size 12. So I bought a little bit of everything. So, all right, Nick, you start to say something else. What's that?
It was very eventful. Very eventful commercial break there. Also, a UPS, and they're a sponsor, so I can give them a shout-out here. This is some due diligence. There were a couple of packages that had gotten mailed to you, addressed to you.
Yeah.
And kept getting returned because, I guess, they were getting delivered at times we weren't there or whatever. So they kept getting, you know, returned. They were about to get shipped back to a warehouse.
That's no good.
And the guy at UPS, Rick is his name.
Okay, Rick.
Looked at the box and was like, wait a minute, that's got to be the guy on the radio, right? So he called the radio station looking for you, and I was like, well, he's not here, but I'm blood. What can we do? So he's rerouting them to the station as we speak.
Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
That's UPS for you, baby. They want to get you your stuff.
You know what those are? Seriously, I ordered those of you who play in the celebrity bocce tournament. Yeah. On September 16th, everybody, the celebrities and the people who play, are going to get a, you saw it, Nick, I'm really proud of this. It's a little bait, it's a little stand to hold a bocce ball, and it's got an engraved base as a commemorative thing for everybody who played in the tournament. So you'll have a bocce ball. It's like a perfect thing. It'll look really cool on your desk. And those are the bases. If they didn't get delivered, we would be short about 30 or 40 bases.
So, that'll be an issue.
So that would have been a real problem to tell the half of the field, hey, sorry, you don't have an award.
Because that's a great thing to keep on your desk or, you know,
An intern. I got to admit, I'm so excited about this. I hope some people will sign up because I'm not lying to you. We need more teams. We still need probably a half dozen or so more teams, to be quite candid.
If you want to play, email me, nickv@espnlouisville.com. That's kind of one of the things I'm in charge of.
We just went out there 2 days ago, and it's fantastic. The venue is fantastic. Where we're going to play is fantastic. Where they're going to serve us lunch is fantastic. The gift bag is fantastic. You're going to get an embroidered shirt, which looks really cool. You're going to get this keepsake for your table. I don't want to ruin the surprise because we got some other things in there. It's a really cool gift bag we're really proud of. So, you know, and not to mention the fun of the game, which is just so ridiculously fun because you're just in close quarters. You hear everybody shouting for good shots and stuff. And it's a lot of fun. So hopefully you guys want to play. We'll get some more teams in there. We could use some. So, oh, there you go. I'm reading. I'm always distracted during the show. Tony Danza just did a big fundraiser for the PAL. You know what that is?
No, the PAL.
Is in New York? You live in New York, so you might know it.
No, not. I spent a little bit of time up there, but.
Police Athletic League?
That's exactly what it was. The Police Athletic League. They were gyms the police set up, especially for inner city kids, you know, for a place to go. And the, you know, they say, idle hands, you know, whatever that cliche is, so give kids something to do and keep them off the streets and out of trouble.
Yeah.
A lot of them taught boxing, and that's Tony Danza. That's where he learned boxing, so he's paying it back, if you will, and he went and did a big fundraiser there. So the woman who runs it posted a picture, so all I did was tell her, my dad, this is true, ran a PAL gym in the 1950s before I was born.
Did you ever learn how to box?
But that's what I was going to lead to. It's funny, no, but he didn't either. But so the kids would ask him, hey, Mr. V, come on. He would tell them, I'm great on a speed bag. He had never done it before. Never done it. So yeah. They said, come on, let's see a demonstration.
Yeah.
So he said, no, I can't do it today. I can't do it. And after they would close at night, like at 11 o'clock at night,
yeah,
he'd get everybody out. And then he taught himself to do it. For about 2 months, he went after work every day. And he went, do. So finally, he was walking out. And they said, come on, you said you were going to. He said, all right. And he went over the thing.
You got to go.
So he showed me at home one time how to do it. And I tried. I spent my time learning to juggle rather than do that.
When I was playing still abroad, I tried to train. I did boxing training once, and I tell you what. So the warm up was, we're gonna jump some rope.
Oh,
so
God.
So we we stretch and do everything. 1 minute, cool. 2 minutes, cool. The next one was like 3 minutes. I said, okay.
Yeah.
And then we did five.
Oh my God.
And then after that, I was like, you know what? I don't know how long I'm going to last at this right now.
Hey, we got more shoes coming in. Yay. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes. These are great. I still got hands. I'm catching shoes right now.
Very,
yes.
Very nice of
absolutely.
You. Thank you.
So we put them in the box
right here. Very nice. Thank you very much.
But, yeah, after that, I said I'll never do this again.
Well, I'm telling you. Yeah, and you played for Patino. You were a cardio guy.
Yeah.
Jumping rope is another form of ass kicking.
No, it's not a game.
I tried to do it in college, and it's the same thing, man. You get up over 3 minutes.
Yeah.
At least for me, I was like, holy moly.
When we did the 5 minute
five-minute one will beat you to death.
He said, this is just a warm up. I said, man.
Warm up.
And then after that, like, because box, I didn't realize how much. I know boxing is a conditioning thing, but when you think of conditioning, you think of your lungs. But to have the legs to be able to move like that, the way they moved, and how you shift your weight when you throw punches.
Also, while they're punching you in the face, by the way.
Yeah,
that's the other thing.
Yeah.
You know, when you were doing it up there by yourself, there was nobody punching you in the face.
It was still hard.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's a great. That may be as good an aerobic conditioner as there is. Jumping rope.
Yes,
no
it is.
There's a place, it's relatively new. I've gone a couple times over the summer called Tidal. That place is really, that's a fun workout. But, yeah, it'll kick your hiney. I think Worldwide goes out there occasionally, too. It's also a good stress reliever.
Why is it fun?
Well, I mean, it's just it's cardio, but I mean, you get to work the bag a little bit, you know, and then you do an ab thing afterwards. You know, a good workout should make you feel like you're leaving better, and like when you leave that place, it's like, man, I put in some work, but it's fun. Like that's the thing. It's not like I mean.
If you could find that. That's great because my experience ever since I'm in high school, so it's not like now I'm an older guy, about working out is the same thing Tom Seaver said about pitching. He once pitched a two-hitter where he's masterful. And one of the writers said, oh, that must have been fun. And he looked him dead in the eye and said, that was not fun. Talking about it now is fun. That was work. This is fun. That's how I feel about a workout. I'm glad when it's over.
Oh, yeah.
I feel so gratified that I did it. but this hasn't been any meaningful workout in my life where in the middle of it I'm thinking, God, this is fun.
No, the only time a workout is fun for me, especially playing for Coach, with all the conditioning that we did, was when you got to the halfway point.
Because you knew you were down.
Yeah.
It's
no,
like going
true.
Into the forest, and now you're coming back out.
Yeah, so to give you an idea, we used to do these things called ladders. So you run up the court once. That's one ladder.
Right.
So we used to do 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, and 15. And then when you would get to 15, you'd have to go 15
backwards.
Again. And then
11,
come all the way
right.
11, 13, you know, all the way back down. And when you got to 15, you're like, okay, I made it. But now I got to go back down.
So let me do the math in my head. That's 2 15s is 30. 2 11s is 22, so that's 52.
Yeah.
2 7s is 14,
mm-hmm.
which is 66.
Yes.
2 3s is 6, 72. And 2 1s. You ran 75 lengths of the court for
yeah.
that drill?
Yeah, that was our conditioning. And then we had to play after that.
75. I mean, I think I asked my guys to do a lot. I can't fathom asking him to do 75. You're supposed to, I mean, you'd have to.
You had to make the time, too.
What was the time? Like a day and a half? Like
if you
start Wednesday, you had to do it by Thursday breakfast, or what?
Up and back was, you got 10 seconds up and back.
Yeah. And you had to do that 75 times?
I mean, yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, we used to do sidelines, yeah. the 17 sideline
yeah.
drill. What are you supposed to do 17 sidelines in? I forgot what the time is.
I forget the time.
I don't remember what the time
I forget
is.
The exact time, but we used to do that, too.
Yeah, that I did. But 75 lengths of the court in 10 seconds a pop and then start practice?
No, not practice. We would do pickup. We would play pickup after that.
Oh.
That was our conditioning.
Okay.
But I will say this, though. I had a buddy of mine. His name was Ronaldo Major. He was from Chicago. And he said, whatever you do, because I had a couple NBA workouts, he goes, don't ever go work out for Pat Riley in the heat. Because the first day, it's a two-day camp, and you don't touch the ball the first day.
Yeah.
Because Pat
was
in shape to play.
Yeah, I believe that. We used to do a lot of that. I heard him in a clinic. I love. You ever do? Did you do Laker layups? Did Rick ever use those?
Which one is that?
Was like you got same good 10 seconds. What reminded me? You go the old three-line drill.
Yeah.
Start with the ball in the middle.
Yeah.
The guy in the middle throws it to the guy on the right wing.
Yeah.
The guy on the left wing has taken off.
So spreading, yeah.
And so he throws a basically three-quarter court pass to the guy on the left wing who's supposed to catch it right in stride and lay it in.
Yeah.
Then the middle guy has to get the ball to the net. Can't hit the floor.
Right. You can't bounce out.
Can't bounce.
Straight out
he
the net.
He has to get it out of the net.
Yeah.
He gets it out of the net. It's three passes down, five passes back. So now he gets it out of the net, and it goes wing, middle, bounce pass, layup.
And the next group up can't let the ball bounce.
The next group can't let it hit the floor either.
Yeah.
And they have to do that up and back in 10 seconds.
We would have to
guys fly. If the ball hits, you got to get 20 of those or whatever it is without a miss. And if the ball hits the floor, a guy misses a layup or the ball hits the floor, you know what happens.
Yeah.
All the way back.
Everybody's got
to start
over.
Oh, yeah.
We would have to make 80 layups in 2 minutes.
Okay, so that's what, yeah.
Something
this
like
was,
that.
So this was, I don't think we went that long, but I think we went up and back. If that would be 10 times, it would be 20 layups. Yeah, it was probably 20 well, it was 10 seconds each time. That's impossible. 80 layups in what?
Two minutes. 80 and two. What's it called? 80 and two. And
with,
they had to be left-handed layups. No, we would have four.
You had four balls?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I say one ball literally would be impossible.
No, actually, I'm sorry, but we had two balls.
Two balls, yeah.
We had one on one end and one on the other.
Yeah, that makes
and we
sense.
Would split us
so
up.
That's, yeah, right.
And
okay.
you would throw the ball to an assistant coach
right.
at the elbow. And then after he would throw you the ball, you would have to dribble in your left hand, and you would have to throw another chest pass.
Yep.
And then they would give you the ball, and then you would lay it up.
Yeah.
But you'd always
sense.
Get one guy that's a freshman that wants to dunk it.
Oh,
and then like
the dunk.
And then not even that though. Sometimes when you dunk the ball, you know it goes anywhere out
yeah,
the
net. Yeah, that's right. It goes flying out.
Yeah.
You
so
just
that
lay it in very gently, so I could take it. That's the truth. That
yes.
is absolutely the truth.
Yes.
Guys don't understand the drills. That you know that may be great. You got all energy, Junior, but you just screwed us up here because the ball just ricocheted into the hallway.
It was always a freshman. Guy and then somebody was like, "Yo, what the bleep
what
are you doing?
Doing? Exactly.
Don't
yeah.
you do that? You want to fight somebody over yeah. there because it's the end of practice anyway, too. Oh yeah. Trust
so
me.
This is wild. This is Major League Baseball weekend with the goofy numbers and names.
Oh, he's when I guess.
I think does that guy have a number at all?
I didn't get. To
I don't
see
think the
back.
Guy pitching for the. He has no. The guy pitching for the Cubs has no number at all.
Oh, he does have a number, but it's in white, so it's white on white.
Oh,
so
I
it's
hate
hard
that.
To tell. So,
I hate that. You guys used to have a jersey. Like, well, I don't know. Maybe it was after
me. It was after me. Yeah, I remember those.
I hated that jersey.
I wasn't a fan of those too much myself.
What is white on white? What are you doing, fellas? You can't
see
a thing.
Yeah,
the whole jersey's in white.
It's like, yeah. Yeah, they have nicknames. That guy's name was Ant.
Yeah, well, his name is L something.
L something. It looked like El Diablo. I could be wrong. So, yeah.
El Blanco, because they were on completely blank for the church. You can't see anything.
Muy bien, mi amigo.
Yes. Very nice. New York Mike gets a chance to come on and gloat yet again because he told us in the exhibition game in Canada that the Raiders would beat the Packers. They were 2.5-point underdogs, and they came back and won. Despite the fact, you see this, what happened, by the way, before Mike comes on?
No.
They had to play the game on an 80-yard field because they were playing in the CFL stadium.
Right.
And the goalposts in the CFL are on the playing surface.
Yeah, they're not
so
on the outside.
So what would have been the end zone for the NFL, there was a gigantic hole. It's just where the goalpost goes. So they were like, we can't play with this. Some guy's going to step in this and wreck his leg.
Yeah.
So they moved the goal line up to what was the 10-yard line. The back of the end zone was where the goal line is, and they played on an 80-yard field. That's what they did.
See,
I would have loved to have seen that. Anything goofy, I'm on board. I want to see that.
Now, here's my thing with that. You guys are the NFL. You guys are a billion-dollar
entity. That's what I said. Nobody thought to do a site survey. That's exactly
yes!
what through my
yes!
mind. Is what's the field going to look like? And somebody said, well, this is where our goalpost goes. Somebody from the NFL said, oh, that's going to be there, that giant hole? Oh, that's fine. That'll be good. We don't have a problem
you know
with that.
Somebody got cussed out. You know somebody got
really?
Cussed out.
What in the world?
I wish I could have seen that email chain. Which one of you idiots?
Idiots didn't notice that there was a gaping hole in what would be right in the middle of our end zone.
Three interns nice. Did not get college credit because of that.
That's exactly right.
I mean, that's one of those. What do you mean, coach?
With some guy who actually is on a salary says, what jackass's nephew forgot to mention the big hole in the end zone?
You know, John Gruden was cussing everybody out. He was straight checking
actually,
on everybody.
The great thing is, the coaches now, we found this out from talking to Lara Overton yesterday. The coaches now have emailed and texted each other that they're not buying into the week three, we got to play our starters and really play thing. Aaron Rodgers didn't play. He's not going to play a snap in the preseason.
Yeah.
They don't care anymore. So it's like, I'm not getting a guy hurt. Screw
no,
that.
No,
so,
not at all. Not at all.
So they had goofy guys playing on the 80-yard field. All right, Mike, you must not have known they were going to have an 80-yard field, but you were right again. That makes, what, 12 of 13?
Hey, Bob.
Yes, we're here.
I told you with a fervor that the Raiders were going to win last night. That's why I bought the tickets in yesterday.
That was impressive. That was a very bold move. By the way, we made $140 in winning tickets. So that's a little above what the average is, right, when you buy a block like that?
No, the average is $170. There has to be one ticket missing.
Man.
I guarantee you, every time I did it, it was $20 or $10 over the half that you bought them. So you're buying for $300. The $150 is half. You got to have at least $10 or $20 over that or a big prize. But
no.
And, I'll do it again, but I wanted to tell you tonight's game.
Okay, good. I'm ready for tonight. Let me get my phone out and see what the point spreads are. Go ahead. What do you got for us?
Buffalo. -2.5 against Detroit.
Buffalo, let me go find this game. I want to see all the details, where they're playing, all that stuff. We got Buffalo and Detroit. Come on, phone. The Bills and the Lions. Buffalo is laying 3.5. You're comfortable with that? On the road. It's a road game, you know.
Yes.
You don't care about that. You're still taking Buffalo.
Hey, Bob, remember yesterday when I said, the Raiders, and then I said there's another game, Baltimore and Philly, and the point spread went from 2.5.
Yeah.
-4. It went to 5, and I said, I think I'm going to take Baltimore with the 5. I should have told you.
Oh,
They won straight up. They won straight up.
That's true. I forgot about that. They did win last night. The matchup was right there.
Baltimore and Philly.
Where is it? I don't even see the result. Oh, there it is. Ravens 26, Philadelphia 15. Yes, very good. Mike's on a roll, Perrin. He's given us 13 games. He's won 12 of them.
He's been crushing it for a while now. And I hope this continues in the football season so I can start making picks.
Well, we're going to start tonight. I'll buy into the Bills. Bills are 2-0 in the preseason. Detroit's 0-2.
Hey, Bob.
I don't know how you do this because none of them are playing their players. But by the way, I started to read your book, Mike. I started to read the Henry Hill book. It's really good.
The reason I gave it to you is so I could pay you 30% Bush. Hate that guy. I hate him with a fervor.
Why? Why do you hate him more than the other guys? What? Because he talks?
Yeah, he is the other guy.
Well, I mean,
who is the other guy?
Well, I mean, they had him dead to rights. Would you want him to be a good fellow and just go to jail for the rest of his life? That's what he was supposed to do?
Hey, I don't know why you're saying that, because I think you're a very smart man. But you saw the movie.
I did.
He was a liar and a punk, and he's a parasite for the Burke family 30 years. Anybody that does that, but I know what happened. I know what really happened.
Why don't you write a book?
A couple of people came to me, but I will not do it, because I'm not shedding light on that family again.
All right. Well, fair enough. Okay.
Hey, I'm loyal. I am loyal to you and to anybody that I tell them I'm loyal.
So why, what, I'd love to go through it with you and tell, have you tell me what is not factual in there.
I remember at the end of the movie when he says Jimmy Burke killed 13 people. You remember that when the guys was coming out of the dumpster and the guy was in the... He said there was 13 people and they just finished robbing the Lieutenant $6 million.
Yeah, yep.
Henry was not in on it at all. You know why?
No.
Angelo Cipri, he was one of the three or four guys that Jimmy Burke used to control. And Angelo Cipri and Henry were in, I think they were in Allenwood prison. And some guy from the Columbos knocked Henry out, and Angelo said, get up and knock him out again. He said, I'm not doing it. So Angelo told Jimmy that Henry's a punk, and he didn't do anything in there. So that's why he got left out of that Lufthansa, because him and Angelo Cipri were enemies. That's why he didn't go. Angelo Cipri was there. Anyway, I'm going to tell you, at the end of the movie, the 13 people that are dead, how could Jimmy do that after he just robbed Lufthansa and he has five police organizations following around? The New York City Police, the Port Authority Police, the CIA, which where the money came from, Lufthansa. Five police organizations following around 24 hours, 7 days a week, Bob. How is he going to touch anybody? It didn't happen.
They never recovered that money, though, did they?
I don't know.
Now look at him. I'm not the feds, Mike. It's okay. You can tell me.
Hey, Bob, that's why I'm almost going to be 70 in the last one around.
That is an amazing story. However much he made up of it, it's an interesting read. Thanks for giving me the book. By the way, that book that you told me to get... on DeWitt Clinton High School?
Yeah.
The cheapest version online is like $170. This thing must be like a collectible. There's a book.
And
about
listen, when I looked it up, it was, you know, almost a little bit, 105. You're kidding me.
It's up. Do you have one? You should hold it as an investment because it's unbelievable.
No, I don't have one. I just wanted you to have one.
Well, I will see if they come down to a more affordable price. Meanwhile.
Hey, listen, do me a favor. You don't have to get it. Put it towards the Jimmy V Foundation.
All right, I'll do that. That's a good idea. When the price comes back down, I'll probably buy it anyway because it looks like it's an interesting read. But
I'll give you another game, and then you could buy it.
That works. That's a plan. All right, so Buffalo
please,
tonight.
Please, Bob, can I tell you just one more thing?
Sure.
Henryville did the movie and the book, Wise Guy, and then the book that you have?
Yep.
That's the book that he says Jimmy Burke threw little kids in refrigerators and to let parents pay up the money. He wrote that after Jimmy died. I would have personally found him and brought him to Jimmy if Jimmy was still alive. What do you think about that?
Yeah, how well
I wouldn't work for that guy, and my father would have worked for Jimmy if he did that. He never did that.
How well did you know Jimmy? Very well?
I told you what he did for my family with the death certificate, right?
Well, he does say that in the book. He alludes to that. He said that he had a very generous side. Even Henry Hill says that about him.
Henry said he was called Jimmy the Gent. I never heard Jimmy the Gent. My father gave it another name, and that's why when I wrote the Daily News and I gave Jimmy's other name and what place he got his pay stubs, that's why the guy said, you met the real guy.
Yeah. Well,
I know what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to make up any stories about me with Jimmy.
Listen, he obviously did a lot of good things for your family. There's no question. All right, brother, I got to go. I'll talk to you soon.
You take care.
Thanks,
man. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too. So the Bills tonight, man. We'll see if we can turn that into some shekels for
You think they'll start that second year kid at quarterback?
I haven't got a clue.
Josh Allen, the
best thing to happen in this NFL preseason is the coaches have finally come to their senses and called the owners' bluffs and said, look, I know you're selling tickets to pad the season ticket package, so instead of making people buy 8 games, they got to buy 10.
Yeah.
But I'm not playing, guys. I don't care. I'm not playing them. Aaron Rodgers isn't going to take a snap in the preseason. Week 3 was always the week the starters played, and if you look, there's hardly any starters playing.
No.
I mean, I'm looking at the box scores from last night. I mean, I couldn't pick half these guys out of a police lineup.
No, and then we saw what happened with the Jets with Avery Williamson. Yep. They spent a good chunk of change on him.
Listen, it's a high-risk game. Why would you play people?
And then the problem with that is you have guys that are trying to make a roster.
Well, that's different.
But I mean, guys that are on a roster already.
You know, but that's what the game serves a purpose for. But I'll be honest with you. If you've had all these sessions in camp, 2 days, and then you had, you know, whatever, and you have one exhibition game, you should be able to make a pretty educated decision based on that.
Yeah.
I mean, the only way things change is like the Colts had that receiver. He's out for the season now. And so now they have another spot open in the receiver corps. They're having a look at some guys they weren't anticipating. But he wouldn't have gotten hurt probably if they hadn't had all these exhibitions. So,
yes.
Like Baltimore last night, it's week 3. That's the game Lamar should have played, right?
Right.
He didn't take a snap.
No.
So, I mean, it's just – and I wouldn't either. A guy who runs as much as he does.
No. Did you see what Aaron Rodgers told him to slide more?
Yeah. He said – Aaron didn't take a snap last night either.
He said, you look good, man. He said, try sliding a little bit more.
Yeah, he probably should consider that. Yeah. I hope he does. I'm so mad I didn't see that Packer game. I don't know why. Just seeing football played on an 80-yard field would have been really intriguing to me.
Now I would like to see that myself as well.
Just to see the visual of that. Packers and Raiders. The Raiders won 22-21. Gruden was very excited. Daniel Carson kicked a 33-yard field goal, 8 seconds remaining. The field was shortened to 80 yards over concerns of player safety. They played in Winnipeg. Canadian football is a big deal, so I don't want you to think it was like some crappy-ass stadium. It's a big stadium.
Yeah.
But their field is 110 yards long, and then the end zones are another 15 or 20. I can't remember, so it's really long.
Right.
But their goalposts are in the end zone, like it used to be in the old days in the NFL, not on the goal line because it's got that little hook to it. But
yeah.
That means if you've used a traditional NFL field, those holes would have been, I guess, either in the end zone or right at the back of the end zone. And guys, imagine a guy running a crossing route and stepping in a manhole.
No, the replay with the knee would be done.
That's how Mickey Mantle ruined his career.
Jeez.
First World Series, it was a fly ball, and he was trying to look like a professional. He ran behind Joe DiMaggio, who's clearly there to make the catch, and he stepped in an uncovered drainage hole at Yankee Stadium.
Jeez.
He just jumped, put his foot right in it and tore his knee up and had problems for the rest of his life because of that. So it's hard to believe they would do that. Can you imagine if they did that today with the Players Association?
Oh, they'd sue him.
Oh, my God. Mickey's family would own the New York Yankees.
Yeah. It
would be.
And this is the Mickey Mantle suite, clubhouse side of the right field all the way over to home plate. He would own half of that place.
The Raiders, by the way, decided to move one of their 2 home exhibition games to Winnipeg to save themselves $500,000 in rent at the Oakland Coliseum. They are definitely getting out of town. It's like we got 1 foot out the door. They're going to move to Las Vegas in 2020. So,
what are your thoughts on that? Are you excited about that?
I'm excited that they're allowing pro sports in Vegas because, to me, it's the most ridiculous, hypocritical, silly, nonsensical, like we don't have a team there, like somehow that's going to keep people from betting on sports or something, or it's somehow going to be more susceptible to corruption if the team is that. Well, if you're going to be corrupt, it's going to be corrupt.
But
I don't think there's enough money to make it corrupt anymore. The reason it could be corrupt in the old days is you could – a guy who could impact the game – you could sway him with $100,000.
A kicker.
You go to a guy now of any kind of importance in the game, nobody's going to put their career on the line for $100,000. Maybe $100 million, maybe. I mean, they're not going to. The one guy you have to be concerned about is the guy, and we found that out with that Tim, whatever his name was, is the referees.
Yes.
They're not making
Donahue.
$100 million. Tim Donahue. Thank you, Nick. Very good.
Now, he told this story about. I forget the referee's name. I think it might have been Dick Lavetta.
Bavetta.
And he's talked about how.
Who's the he?
Tim Donahue in his book. He talked about how his grandson loved Allen Iverson. So Allen told Dick to bring him on the court one game so he could meet him. So he used to be a regular thing. So he said anytime he said he was doing a Sixers game, he would always bet the Sixers, and he always bet them to cover because he
Lepetto was calling the game.
Would send him to the line more because his grandson was in stands.
Yeah, that's a little scary, but yeah, probably human nature. Probably some truth to that. Listen, the way human beings, I mean, you know why people say home court advantage, what's the difference? Well, in addition to you get to sleep in your own bed and you're shooting against the background you're familiar with, I think there's another thing. Referees, I believe 99.99% of them are simply trying to get the call right.
Yeah.
But it is also human nature. A ball that is 50-50 going out of bounds, and that official knows if he points that way, the whole arena is going to scream and cheer, and if he points the other way, they are going to bury him in bile. I don't think he does it consciously, but it's hard to think that subconsciously he wouldn't go, going that way, yeah, and everybody goes crazy because they're human beings. I mean, I would suggest he might not even know he's doing it. I think that to not factor in the human part of it, like with Dick Pivetta. I'll bet you Pivetta wasn't doing it on purpose.
No.
But I'll bet you subconsciously he was, you know, oh, Allen got hit there. Let's put him on the line.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's probably something to that.
When I've done big AAU tournaments and there's college coaches watching the game and they're two of the best players on the court because I know they're being evaluated, I let them on both sides. I'll give more leeway. And the reason why is nobody's here to watch these guys sit.
Right, it's true.
And I'll talk to the kids.
As long as nobody's got an advantage over the other.
Yeah, nothing crazy. Like, hey, man, watch the push-off. Watch the extension on your elbow. You can't do that. The next time you do it, I'm going to call it.
Right.
Instead of just calling it.
Right.
I'll be more concerned with talking to the kids because I'll tell them, look, nobody's here to see me blow the whistle.
Especially in a summer league game. I mean,
so when I do the Nike stuff or the Under Armour stuff down in Florida, and not Florida, but at Atlanta, I have more rapport with the kids so they have better understanding of what they need to do because I want them to understand that nobody's here to see me and they take more advantage of their opportunity.
Sure. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So which way should I bet then when you're calling an A?
Depends who's better.
We'll take a short time out. We'll come back and wrap things up. We're here, and we thank the people who brought some shoes by. Very, very kind. The box is a lot more full than it was when we got here. That's great news.
Yes.
We'll take a short break. Before we do that, let me tell you about my friends at Genesis Diamonds. You only have a few more days. It ends August 25th. An incredible deal. The best selection, the best prices of GIA-certified diamonds. These are not just any diamonds. They don't even take every diamond that comes across their desks for evaluation. They only pick the best, and they make the best prices because they buy them in cash, they pay direct, and so they pass the savings on to you. It may be a cliche, but it's true. And in this case, they already have the best prices and the best selection. But until August 25th, just a couple more days, then when it's over, it's over. You will lose the opportunity to buy these diamonds at 20% below the already guaranteed prices that are out there. These are prices that are rarely offered to the general public. You might even see some other jewelers shopping alongside you because they want that opportunity. Oh, and more shoes coming. Thank you very much. So, this is a great opportunity for you to take advantage. But it only goes till Sunday. It won't be extended. So don't miss it. 20% off the already guaranteed lowest prices at Genesis Diamonds only until Sunday. Check them out. They're right up the road from where we're sitting right now on Shelbyville Road, next to Trader Joe's, Shelbyville Road Plaza. Genesis Diamonds, 20% off the guaranteed lowest prices only until the 25th. Don't miss it. Genesis Diamonds. Back with more. Stick around. ESPN Radio.
Follow our story at Great Flood Beer on social media. Go Cards.
That's probably enough. I will literally do this until 3 o'clock.
Bang.
More B-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I want to thank the folks who came out to bring us some shoes. We got a box full of shoes now. Oh, as Karen starts to rip my head off by stepping on my headset.
I'm sorry about that.
Size 14.
Do I need to call the good reverend to bless the
Lord? Give me last rites. thanks again. Everybody brought some. We had a lot of people bring shoes and some
Very, very generous folks brought a whole bag of shoes, and it's very nice. So they got a nice big box now. It's just about full.
Yes, it is.
That's very nice. Thank you, everybody, as always. One thing about living here I have found, you ask people for help, and they step up and help. So we're very, very delighted about that, and we thank you. So Robbie's going to put these to good use with Sports Reach, and having gone on one of those trips, I can tell you it's absolutely fantastic. I love not only what they do, but how they do it. It's a great experience for the players and coaches. It's a great experience for the kids whose lives they touch over there. And Robbie does a terrific job with it. So thank you, everybody who helped. Really appreciate that very much. So let me see. Who have I left out? Nick, I believe I left out our friends at Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss, which is always my pleasure to talk about, because I had here today at Dave & Buster's a delicious burger wrap. It was wrapped in lettuce, made a lettuce wrap and broccoli, completely exactly what I'm supposed to have on this. I just need a little fruit. That would be one of my two meals. Delicious. I'm not remotely hungry, and this is the way you can eat. It's just, it teaches you how to eat, and I got my supplements in place. It's what they do at Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. They tailor a program to you. Nick's is different than mine. Mine is different than some other folks around the office who have done it and done it with success. They'll do that for you, too. They find out what your body needs. They give you the nutrients, the minerals, and the eating plan can be bent and shaped and tailored to what you like, and is no highly, overly, ridiculously overpriced packaged foods where you can eat pizza. Then they give you a pizza the size of a postage stamp. Oh, look, I'm eating pizza. Yum.
But it's gluten-free, though.
Oh, it's pizza. This is real food, and you learn to eat differently, and you feel better, and I just have been grateful, so grateful for them. It's very, 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 very excited about that. I can't repeat what Nick just said to me because he had a potty name. He had a potty word in it.
He did have a potty word.
You heard it, right?
Yes,
so check
I did.
Out my friends at Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss, by the way. It's absolutely great. This is a heads up that Nick wants me to tell you people about. It's a media advisory. Ooh, very excited about media advisories. That's no good. I can't read that. Oh, here we go. For immediate release. No, we're not doing that. Thank you, though. Thanks for sending it to me. Appreciate it. A lot more to come here in the last minute of the show.
I was waiting for it.
So let's get into some really heavy topics here.
Yes, a deep dive.
You got 30 seconds.
A deep dive.
Before your time, the Tonight Show used to be 90 minutes long. Can you imagine doing a 90-minute show every night on TV? And they always had a million guests. It used to make me laugh because they would bring the popular, you know, mainstream people, a comedian and an actor, and then some guy would have written the really, really serious book. It was like a 700-page book, like the history of the world, and they'd give the guy like a minute and a half. Here's Dr. Perrin Johnson. Perrin, tell me about your book, The History of the World. Well, it's a history. All right, thanks. The whole time we have, Perrin. Thank you so much. I'd be like, yeah. So that's like what we're doing here. So I won't get into any heavy subject with you. So there you go. That's about it, I believe. Are you going to go to the Notre Dame game?
I'm thinking about it, because how often do you get to see Notre Dame in your backyard?
True.
I don't think people really understand the importance of that. The older fan does.
Yes.
The younger fan.
No, that's true.
Not so much, because I think a lot of things have shifted.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if you're – and Louisville has a large Catholic community.
Yes, they
so
do.
So people that – even though people love Louisville, they love Notre Dame
they
a
do.
Lot longer. For many, many moons before they loved U of L.
Well, Notre Dame was playing big, huge, big-time football, you know, 70 years ago,
yes.
80 years ago, when
yes.
Louisville went to, before they got to the point where they would even consider being a big-time football program. So there is going to be that. But it's going to be interesting to see how they do the seats while the season's going on.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, I'm just my own, I kind of pay attention to what I pay attention to. I had no idea the pink seats was pissing fans off that much.
People get mad at things
that was unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, when we had Vince Tyree on, he said he heard that from so many fans. I said, what do you care? It's under your rear end when the game is going on. You're not seeing it. What are you getting so bent out of shape about?
I
must be in the minority.
Can't wait to see somebody's Facebook post. Look at my new chair. It's no longer pink. It's red. You know, it's going to be somebody out there like that.
Hey, good. I mean, it's great.
Maybe it'll feel better. It'll be like the M&Ms where you think they taste different based on the color, but they're all exactly the same. It'll feel more comfortable.
What's your favorite M&M color?
Blue.
It's not just because it's, see, that is, mine is red, even though
actually, no, it's not blue, and it's not because I'm afraid of BBN. It's because, actually, as a kid, green is my favorite color. But they didn't always have green in there. It was, like, the rare color. Plus, I guess she's the hot one, evidently.
I like green, and I like red always. It's always been green or red.
Festive.
They do taste exactly the same.
They
though, right?
do, though.
Yeah. But it's not like, you know, the Starburst or something where they're all different flavors and colors.
Nobody likes the brown M&M.
And it's the same flavor.
That's why it's funny. Like, it's gonna taste different because it's the brown M&M.
They made her like a badass or whatever. Because now, I think that was the last one that didn't have, like, a characteristic. And he's Brown is now, like, the CEO leader. Like,
oh, he is?
Kick-ass chick. No, it's a girl.
It's a girl.
It's a girl. They got two girls. They have her, who's, like badass, like, executive woman. And then the green is, like, the supermodel one. And then blue is, like, the cool one. He played, like, the saxophone.
And yellow's goofy, right?
Yellow's kind of goofy, but he's also the peanut M&M.
Okay.
The red M&M is kind of, like, the leader.
Sure.
The wisecracking one.
That's
and then
like
the
best.
Orange one was the crispy M&M before they got rid of crispy M&Ms. And he was kind of skittish. But now he's just kind of like the M&M that they stick, like, pretzels in and everything. And that was, and there was the nerdy caramel
Good
guy.
Lord,
and wow, I didn't realize how much I knew about
so
these guys.
Much meaningless, valueless
Burkhead
crap.
Ryan just walked in.
It's unbelievable. You know so many things that you really can't profitize.
Nope.
So the orange
M&M. You just said he's full of useless information.
Yeah, well, yes, it is. I mean, the orange M&M was the crunchy M&M or something.
He was crispy in the 90s, and he was very skittish because everyone really wanted to eat him a lot because he was so delicious.
On that note, have a delicious weekend, everybody. Unless
James Friebel's in. The take
we'll
next.
See you on Monday.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.